Good morning, everybody. This is WTBR's Morning Drive. I am honored and privileged, and I'm humbled, and I mean that sincerely, to have with me someone I have a great deal of admiration for and respect. His name is Bishop William Byrne. The Vatican made him the Bishop of the Springfield Diocese. This program and he, we've agreed to make him the Bishop of Western Massachusetts. We're not going to inform the Vatican. We don't want to be stepping on their toes. But Bishop, how are you?
Great, Holy Father. Since he's the Pope of the Berkshires, who makes me the Bishop of the Western Massachusetts, I'll address you appropriately.
Oh, thank
you. It's a mutual admiration society that we have here.
Well, I do mean that. And this isn't any kind of aspersion on any of your predecessors, but you breathed new life into this diocese. Even some of your fellow priests, I think, I see it in them. You know, you're approachable. Yeah. You really are.
That's good.
I think it's not so much good. You, but the dog.
That's, we all know that. It's like you and the Polish princess.
Everything is good with you?
Everything's great, thank you. I just got back from the bishops' meeting. They had twice a year meeting, the bishops get together of the country. This year we were in Orlando, Florida. Could have been in Framingham, could have been in Westfield. It made no difference where we were because we were in a windowless conference room most of the day and not enjoying, no mouse ears for me on this trip.
Oh, wow. A lot of work. The Bishop, the other piece that I wanted to ask you, you've got a big event coming up from Steubenville, or Steubenville Retreat.
Yeah, it's a really very exciting. Steubenville is a university in Ohio, Steubenville, Ohio. And they're known for being joyously and faithfully Catholic. And so they have been doing youth conferences all around the country. They have a Steubenville East, a Steubenville West, South. And for the second year in a row, they are having the Steubenville East Youth Conference in Springfield at the Mass Mutual Center. So this just makes it so incredibly exciting that we have this first class, world renowned youth ministry weekend hosted right here in our own backyard. So I'm very excited. They have great music and great the music and the great speakers, and the kids are just on fire. So what a blessing that we have this.
Oh, yeah.
And we need to get as many people, young people there as we possibly can.
Well, you let me know. I have Mark just send me a thing with the particulars, and I'll start reading it every day as an announcement.
Wonderful. That'd be great. Thank you. Yeah. I will.
No, I can do that. I have to, an aside story, it has nothing to do with anybody but you and me and the grasshoppers. I went, my grandson was baptized in New York City. And it was at St. Peter's Church, which is the oldest church in New York. I didn't know that. And someone you would admire, a fine, as my Irish mother would say, a fine Irish priest from the old country, from the old side.
Really?
And William Hudson was baptized. But what I wanted to bring out here was this parish was packed, and people of all ages, young families, young teens, young professionals, old people like me. And it was just a beautiful mass. So I think we can get it going again.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I think our experience here in New England of sort of half-empty churches and an aging population is not the experience of most of the country.
Right.
You know, where I was pastor 3 years ago, you would have had at the 11 o'clock mass, you would have had 40, 50 strollers around the outside of the church. And, you know, you wouldn't get 40, 50 strollers in a whole county up here, but that's not typical.
No.
You know, you go to a place like New York City, even where it's, you know, the center of jaded culture, and yet people are all there. So I think we have to realize that this, people have to understand that this is what's so beautiful about something like Steubenville East,
right,
is that it brings in a sense of normality in from the rest of the world into New England, which is, you know, understandably, for some reasons, beaten up. And we need to realize, wow, there's a real future, and God hasn't forsaken his church.
Oh, I don't know. No, I didn't mean to imply that. I was just refreshed to see this, you know.
I'm saying how people, people around our diocese can feel that way sometimes.
Oh, I know. Yeah, you know, one of the things too is that the Steubenville event, that will bring in people who, you know, want to get into it. You definitely know, there's still a lot of young people that want to get involved, and young families, and it's just making it possible, relighting that fire. So we got it out of it.
Yeah, I mean, I was at St. Mary's in Long Meadow, and they have this great kids summer camp.
Oh.
And they have the older kids are the counselors, and the little kids are the running around and going down the slippy slides and everything. And I thought, if we could just bring all these kids in with their families to Mass, and many of them do come, we'll be rebuilding, you know?
Yeah, and you got Father Chris Malatesta and the whole group out at Camp Holy Cross. There's another opportunity, you know, to just get them excited again and get them. COVID, I think we're all seeing the results of hasty judgments and some other maybe not so proper science or validated science, whatever the term. But we see it with the kids learning. We see it with people. I'm an old guy, you know, even older than you. But we didn't miss Mass. My mother didn't care if we had a, you know, I walked with snow up to my hips. Well, there were days, I can tell you, we plowed the snow during Lent to get to Mass, you know. And
absolutely.
I think that break that and you had no choice. I mean, now we got out of the habit.
But there was also nothing to do on Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, I think what we need to do is start, and I've been trying to figure out how we need to do this. We need to reclaim Sundays.
Yeah.
You know, these poor parents are getting up, having to do their sports stuff. There's no day of rest.
No.
Much less a day of resting in God. And I think we need to reclaim our Sundays and not get the sports leagues to schedule things on Sunday mornings, but let people sleep in, let them go to church, let them have brunch together, whatever. But, you know, the blue laws, as they were called in my area when I was growing up.
Oh, here too.
There was nothing to do. You know, you sort of sat around until you could watch football and or went outside and played, and then I used to sometimes think it was boring, but now I wish so desperately that for that kind of a peaceful boredom, you know.
Yes, and just an aside, when I was during the transition of President Mandela in South Africa, they still observed Sundays. And it would be wonderful to go to the parks. I was in, you know, Pretoria, and you'd go to the parks, and there would be families and picnics. But before I left, the malls were open on Sunday again. And, you know, again, commerce. Listen, but you went to have a meeting with the bishop. How'd that work out?
Yeah, I was saying it could have been anywhere. It could have been in Framingham or Albany. It didn't make. We were in Orlando, Florida, and basically in a conference room, you know, and that was it all day. So there was no mouse ears for me, or, you know, going on the magic teacups or anything. It was, but it, the meeting in June tends to be less business and more about sort of broader policies and trends in the church and that type of a thing. And, but the beauty is that it's nice to get together with, you know, my peers and have, relax and catch up and have dinner. And, several of them are friends of mine from seminary, dear, you know, best friends from seminary. So it really, it is a, it's, that's my favorite part is, not death by meetings, but like sort of life by hanging out with friends. Yeah.
Well, the, I also think it's when I used to have to go to those kinds, there were ones that I look forward to because I got re-energized, you know, and there were others that I would rather get a root canal than sit through a let's rewrite this policy on how we talk to the press. And it was like, the other, You're involved with the National Committee for Eucharistic Revival. You want to kind of go over that? It sounds
right. So the bishops decided to try and have a 3-year program. The first year, which we've completed already, was sort of after it was a response to a Pew study that seemed to indicate that as low as 30% of Catholics believed in the real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist.
I just
which
saw.
Is but I think part of that problem is that, so this was a reaction to that, to say we really need to have a revival of people's understanding of their celebrating of the Eucharist, of their worship and adoration of the Eucharist as Jesus truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. I think that the first statistic, 30%, was a little skewed, because I think if you walk down the street and say to people, are you Catholic? They would say, yes, I'm Catholic. And then if you said, do you ever go to church? They'd say, no, I never go to church. Well, I think anybody that was people that defined as Catholic, whether they were practicing Catholic or not. So I suspect that of those who are in church every Sunday, it's a much higher percentage of people that believe in the Eucharist, but there's a lot of people walking around that don't. So the first year was concentrated on the diocesan wide experience. And that's why we had our Eucharistic Congress in March, which was a huge success, really well organized, amazing speakers, just great. And then the next year is supposed to be sort of concentrating on taking that to the parishes. And then the final year is sort of beyond just, but in 2024, next summer, there's going to be a National Eucharistic Congress in Indianapolis. And so that's going to be upwards of 75,000 people coming for days of prayer and worship and great speakers and music and adoration, like a big festival. I'm on the national committee that's helping advise on that process. So it's really exciting.
Yeah, I'll bet because it's, I guess, again, it's like, was it COVID? Was it, well, I don't know. But yeah, I saw that. And the other, you've probably seen the statistic too, that 36% of people are give credit to us going to organized religion. I don't know if you've seen that. I think that's skewed. I do. You made a couple of valid points, and I want to pick up on them before I forget, because at my age, I forgot where the stairway is. So Rose, the Polish princess is happy with that. Just stay down there. I'll call you when supper's ready. We are an aging group of people here, and some people, I just think we need to sit back. Here's what I do every day. And don't go by me, because if I get into heaven, it's through the back door, believe me. I try to assess what I can do today. And then at the end of the day, I try to assess what I've done. And I guess it's my age. You know, I know I don't have a long time left. Yesterday I was talking to a guy. He said, "Oh, my grandmother just turned 101 on, oh, wow. You know, but I think the Eucharist is one of the things too, that we just need to be reminded of.
Right. And that's the whole idea, is just to, you know, most people haven't walked away from faith. They've forgotten. And, you know, they just got out of the habit, or they, you know, started watching Mass on their phone, and then what? That's not it. You know, the studies show that people are happier when they get together physically. And that's why I think there's so much anxiety and depression among young people, is because their connection to the world is through a device. So they have their smartphones, but they're on Instagram and all these type of things, but that's not real human interaction. Human interaction is looking somebody in the eye and, you know, giving them a hug. That is human interaction.
Yeah, so. you're dead on. Just a plethora of information out there now telling people, you know, when I go in the grocery store, which I I do because of love. That's how you stay married 52 years. You go in the grocery store.
Right.
But when I see people with their kiddos and they got this and the kid's looking at this, it's a babysitter. You know,
it's sad.
Yeah. Yeah, they're not conversing with the kids at all, or teaching them, oh, look, here's apples. Here's the, you know, I can remember my mother doing that, you know, with us. I digress, because I think the important thing is that you're the getting people back to community, getting people back to church. For the people that are just tuning in, that good-looking guy right there, he is Bishop William Burns. He is the, we go to the same hairdresser. he is the bishop of the Springfield Diocese, but we also call him the Bishop of Western Mass. I will tell you, he spends an inordinate amount of time here in the Berkshires, and we are always happy to see him. And one of the other things, Bishop, and you and I hold this, I believe, in common, is the more and more people are looking for alternatives to public education. And, you know, a lot's come out that what kids are being taught isn't really what parents want. And I've recommended to a couple people within the past couple months that they're not Catholic, but I said, you don't have to be Catholic to go to a Catholic grammar school.
Absolutely. You know, the Berkshires has three incredible elementary schools right there. They've got, you know, Lee, Dalton, and Adams.
Yeah.
But also, you know, the parents should be the first teachers of their children, not a school committee deciding, you know, what should be taught to a third grader about sex education. It's like, some of it's bordering on pornography. You know, as if we need to expose our children to this in such an over-sexualized world anyway. If I were a parent, I'd be very, very cautious and really seriously consider making that investment in an education that's trying to teach math and English and not, you know, a social agenda. I don't know if you saw, I was just watching on the news last night, the drop in math and English scores.
Unbelievable.
in the nation are is catastrophic, I would say. In our it was middle school kids.
And I don't, how do you make that up? You know, how do you make that? How do you make those grades up?
In Catholic school, they don't have to because they didn't miss school. You know, they kept on going, and they kept on learning. And whereas and it's not a criticism of the educators. It's just the circumstances that they were presented with or had forced upon them. And so that's why it's so important for the, I think, to make important choices for your children.
As I was told by my father, and I did it, and I've shared with it with my son, one of the most important things that you can do for a child is their education, without question. And be a role model. You know, my father, rest his soul, he went to Mass every single morning of his life. So that was a role model for us as kids growing up. So,
you know, when I was,
go ahead.
When I was growing up, my father and mother were both daily communicants, but my two best friends, and still to this day, my two best friends, are their fathers were all daily communicants.
Yeah.
And then when I went to college, a bunch of my, you know, it was that greatest generation.
Yeah.
It was the group of guys that were charging the beach at Anzio and Normandy, climbing up the hill while getting shot at, who knew how to get down on their knees before they went to work every day. So I just thought that was normal.
Yeah.
I thought waking up and going to Mass was a normal thing.
Yeah. And you know, we had, God rest his soul, Father Foley. He was a little old Irish guy. We had three Masses, 6:45, 9, and noon. And I guess I didn't mind it because my family was up. I always served 6:45, you know.
Right.
And then I would go to school. But we can get back into those habits. We just have to have them. I guess more the point I'm trying to making is, I think the people of the country are poised for an alternative approach to educating their children. And I think the Catholic school should be poised to fill some of that gap.
Absolutely. You know, we're about to have a capital campaign, and we want to make sure that strengthening education, whether it be religious ed for the people that can't go to Catholic school or Catholic education, is an important part of that.
There's no question about it. You and I agree on that. I think 100%. The other piece too, Bishop, is the schools we have now. And let me go back. I'll come back to that. How is the Capitol campaign, your bishop's campaign, going? I have that in my notes.
So we have two. We have our annual Catholic appeal.
Right.
And that's chugging along. We don't know exactly how close, but we're getting close to goal.
Good.
But then we're about to announce that we're going to do, you know, that's a every year thing. Then we're going to do a capital campaign, which is a once in a lifetime thing.
Right.
You know, like you do ever, we haven't done it for a couple decades now. And the goal of that is priest retirement fund, you know, making sure that we do help parishes. Most of the money will go to parishes, and then whatever money the diocese makes will actually go to parishes, so that the parishes, if they want to start a teen club or if they want to start a men's group, they can get grants for that from the diocese to help them. So that the principle of subsidiarity, that they are going to know what's best for evangelization, let's say, in Pittsfield, which would be different than Greenfield or Westfield. Sure.
I got a. I don't know why I'm getting an amber
alert. I got it also, an amber alert.
Yeah.
In Cheshire.
Oh, God. You know, I don't want to sound like But, you know, we really got to work to get God back in our daily lives. And I'm preaching to you as the wrong guy, but I maybe to some of the people watching that, what you see going on in the country, in the world, the strife, the murders, the everything. It's just very discouraging. And the way I try to get around it is I use a little bit of my own prayer life. I like to walk and pray. Can't walk as much as I used to because I can't breathe. But, you know, and you're an inspiration. And, you know, you got some guys out here, some really good guys. I don't want to tell them to go to their heads, you know. Then you got to give them the whole humility again. But, you know, you got Father Malatesta. You got Father Manasani, you got a man senior, you got this new I don't want to call him a kid, new priest with the man senior. I'm sorry, I can't remember his name, but you realize I don't remember where the car's parked. And Father Chris out at St. Mark's. And down in Leap, the biggest supporter of the Catholic school are the priests.
Right.
It reminds me when I was the curate that was in charge of the school would either be in the play yard or walking through the school or at lunch. You know, we saw them.
You've got Father Matt Brody and Father Brian McGrath.
Always wonderful.
Amazing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Berkshires has got some real stellar pastors. And so it's a blessing. If you can't find yourself a church home, then you're never going to up there. You're never going to find one, you know?
What do you see the biggest challenges before we take a little break? What do you see the biggest challenges coming for the church in the, say, the next decade?
Well, I just think that we have to recognize that a place like Western Massachusetts is now mission country. We used to think of mission country as like, you know, the heart of Africa or places like that. You know where it is? It's called Western Massachusetts, where people have not heard of Jesus. It's not even like if we say, you know, is there a God? The question is what is God? Do you know what I mean? Like even the most basic assumptions that people of faith make, we can't make that of the society as a whole.
No.
And so that's our challenge, but really it's our opportunity, is to recognize that we are here to propose the gospel for the first time to many. And it's a real opportunity, like St. Paul in Corinth or Ephesus, doing just that.
And you know, with someone like you and in the recruiting of clergy, I have to tell you, that to me is, I think, going to be a huge challenge in the years to come. Mm-hmm. And
I came from where I came from in Washington, D.C. is going to have 16 men ordained to the priesthood next year.
Oh, wow.
So, those are strong numbers.
Yeah.
And is it to say that something's going on, you know, God is more in Washington than he is here? Absolutely not. It's just we haven't asked and formed a culture in the way that we need to. And that's what I'm really very earnestly trying to do right now.
Well, and I think you're doing well. We're going to take a little bit of a break right here. Coming back, this is Bishop William Byrne. He is the bishop of the Springfield Diocese and Western Massachusetts. But I don't want to embarrass him or anything, but I will tell you, he is probably the most approachable bishop I have ever met in my lifetime. He wants to be with people. He's not aloof. And Bishop, I mean that as a kind, I really do, because everybody who has met you and knows me say, boy, you nailed it. He's just like one of us, you know? And you know, you've been around a day or two, that not everybody's hunky dory, We'll be right back. This is WTBR 89.7 FM on your radio. That will also simulcasting on PCTV channel 1301. We will be right back with Bishop William Byrne, one of the favorite guests on the show. Get a lot of positive feedback. In fact, when you're not on, I get, "Where's the bishop?" And I, my response is, "It's not my job to take care of him. It's Mark DuPont's." We'll be right back.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon here on WTBR FM.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org. And from BeFair. BeFair is one of the largest premier human service agencies in Berkshire County. If you're looking for services for a loved one or are interested in caring for the people we support, visit BeFair.org today for available opportunities.
The Berkshire's only rock station, 89.7 WTBR-FM, Pittsfield, Massachusetts. And now back to the Morning Drive with Bill Sturgeon on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. This wonderful person that you see here, he's Bishop William Byrne. He is the Bishop of Springfield Diocese. He's also the Bishop of Western Mass. He spends a lot of time in the Berkshires. He travels with his dog, and I don't want to hurt his feelings, but when he goes like into the schools and stuff, well, he may be the bishop. They really give more attention to the dog. But but last time the dog was sick. Is everything okay now?
Yeah, she's had her surgery. She had a cruciate ligament, the ACL, in the dog. Wow. So it took a little while, but that breed of English Lab is prone to it. But she's doing great. And I was actually in a store the other day, and as I walked up, the shopkeeper said, "Where's the dog?" And then in walks another customer and says, "Where's the dog?" And I said, "My feelings are starting to get a little hurt." And they said, "No, just be realistic, Bishop."
Yeah. Don't let it go. Don't let the title go to your head.
Exactly.
I have to tell the folks about the University of Massachusetts and the Newman Center there. I had the good fortune through my son, Patrick, who is on the board of the Newman Center, went to UMass, spent a lot of time at the Newman Center. But Bishop, you may not have known this. When the Polish princess was at UMass, she was on the board. She was on the local.
Really?
Oh, big in the Newman Center, yes. But anyhow,
so you, the Sturgeons, are Newman Center royalty.
Well, I don't know about that.
You're more the jester.
Yeah. Yeah.
But certainly your wife is a queen, and your son is certainly a prince. He did a lot of effective fundraising to make that happen. So when you see Patrick, tell him I'm another thank you.
Well, I will email this interview down to him. They're committed to it, because both of them will tell you, and I guess I say this for kiddos that are out there that may be going to UMass, or parents whose kids are grandparents, the Newman Center is a great stabilizing point at UMass. It's not just a Christian church. It's a place for kiddos to go and get away from and Father Gary Daly, he's done such a wonderful job there. I can't say enough good things about him, even though he sent me a check to say good things.
The Newman Center has a very close place in my heart, because for 8 years I was chaplain at the University of Maryland in College Park, which is the Maryland equivalent of UMass Amherst, the flagship of the campuses. And in those humongous state schools, it's easy to get lost.
Very.
So you have to find your community of, your small community. It's a community of communities. And the Newman Center is such a positive place. It's a place to not just to go to mass, but to hang out, to study, to eat. They have the food services there.
Yeah.
To break bread, to laugh, to go see a movie with your pals. And so the students that find that place to be a home, find a good, wholesome community. People that are going to have fun, but they're also, it's not about just partying, or it's not about just, you know, looking a certain way. It's about being a good person and having fun and making your college experience so accessible.
And reality. That's one of my comments about the Newman Center. When you go in there, it's reality. It's not, you know, it's great to think up here, but every so often you got to come down and say, I got to start the car, you know.
Uh-huh.
And that's the Newman Center. And whatever we've had to do with it as a family, we're very proud of that. And I'm very proud of my son, and I'm very proud of my wife, because they were committed to it and they stay committed to it, you know.
And if you're just going by for a visit, just go into the chapel, because it's spectacular. Oh. The new chapel is really stunning. They took an altar from, I believe it was Holy Rosary Church,
I think,
and repurposed a bunch of things from the diocese to find a new use for them and a new home, as opposed to just rotting away. And it's really the art and the experience is just beautiful.
And they had what do you call it, Bishop? Was it a consecration mass or what?
Yes, exactly.
And we
which
we,
is quite a complicated thing.
Yeah, you did a good job.
You know, we have to bless all the walls and, you know, dispel darkness, and then we actually consecrate the altar with sacred chrism, like you would a baby or a person getting confirmed. It's almost like the church is a living building, and so it experiences these same sacramental touches to make it a worthy place for the worship of God. And so it was certainly a long mass, but it was a beautiful one.
You know, it was, but I will also tell you, it went by very quickly. And then afterwards, I heard that you had to be tired that night. You that morning had confirmation somewhere.
Right. At Holy Trinity in Westfield.
Yeah.
And then to make it there for that was, it was a great day. I love days like that, when you plop into bed exhausted after a full and good day.
Yeah, and worthwhile time spent. But not to belabor this, folks, the choir was spectacular. The service, even for Catholics that we were there, had never been through anything like that. As the bishop said, there was the regular mass, but it was also the blessing of everything, to include the Stations of the Cross, and it was really I'm glad we experienced it, you know. It was worthwhile.
Yeah. The choir was helped out by Thomas Aquinas College, which is in Northfield. So Thomas Aquinas College is a small Catholic liberal arts great books program out of California, Southern California, Ojai. It's been going on for about 50 years, of this really remarkable great books education. And they acquired the old, I'm not sure whether it was the Mount Hermon campus or the Northfield campus after the merger, but they were given this campus, and they established Thomas Aquinas College right here in our own diocese. And so they generously came down with their choir director and their choir to help out the Newman Center, and it was beautiful.
Yeah, Father Gary pulled me aside on the way in and said, under no circumstances are you to sing. So I don't know what that was. I guess he's heard me in the past. But
exactly.
That what a wonderful event it was. But again, if you're going to UMass, and you don't even have to be Catholic to walk in the door there. You really don't.
Right.
But it's and even if you're at UMass, and there's a lot of alum in, from here, from UMass, make sure you go into this chapel, because I was knocked over when I walked into it. It's so beautiful. And
right.
It's not Gothic. It's today. Wouldn't you say, is that fair?
Yeah. It's a great combination of both. It's a
okay.
beautiful modern building filled with light, but then the chapel brings you back to some of the real beauty of the church. You know, it's a wonderful combination of both old and new.
The bishop, and he did a wonderful job. I'm going to let you go here, as I always do with, as a promise to Mark. I look forward to seeing you up here in the Berkshires this summer. There's a lot going on. I will say this. I don't know if you've seen it or not. Bishop, I did a show. I replayed it this morning, actually, about anti-Semitism. I don't know if you've kept up. There's been some issues up here, even today, white supremacy kind of stuff in today's newspaper. We are recording this, folks, on Thursday. It'll air on Monday, whatever that is, and I'll look that up while I get my
26th.
Thank you, Bishop. So I say, where's Bishop? He knows this stuff. He's not like me. I think someday off camera, you and I'll chat about my background, but I think we all need to pay attention, whether we're Catholic or Jewish or Protestant or just Christian or Muslim or whatever. There are haters in this world. That's all I'm going to say. And unfortunately, I think some of them are starting to raise their ugly heads a little bit. But
I think that we need to stand together as people of faith. And
yes.
I send my greetings of solidarity with all my Jewish brothers and sisters. I had the opportunity to meet with many of the rabbis and faith leaders via Zoom at one point. And so I just want to send them my promise of prayers and my solidarity and just a commitment to do whatever we can do to stand together against religious intolerance. You know, in this country, there's been a great upsurge of anti-Catholicism.
Oh, yes.
So within the last 2 years, there's been nearly 300 incidences of statues being, decapitated or things like that.
Desecrated.
So we need to stand, desecrated, right? And we had it in East Hampton at the Bethlehem House Pregnancy Center. And so we need to stand together. And so with my brothers and sisters, I send great love and solidarity.
And Bishop, any time that you need to get any announcements out, just have Mark get them to me. I will more than happily read them in the, because when I let you go here in a couple of minutes, I'll spend the rest of the time just reading announcements of everything that's happening. This is the Berkshires.
Right.
This is summer.
Such a great service.
Well, yeah. I started my radio career doing that because people, kind of didn't know. Oh, I didn't know about that. And so many, smaller agencies can't afford a lot of newspaper ads and things like that. So I try to fill a little gap. I wish you a wonderful summer. I hope you get up to the Berkshires. I hope you get to Tanglewood. I just will say this. The Polish princess and I like to go to the Sunday afternoon concerts and sit on the lawn and decompress. And that's
beautiful.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Anything else, Bishop, you want to say before we head out?
No, I'm looking forward to my next trip to the Berkshires. I don't know. I'm getting away for a couple of days this next week, but I'm sure it's on my calendar because I always tell my Secretary Stacy, I want to get up there. And I just send my love to everyone there and look forward to being there soon.
Bishop, you are a wonderful man, and you're an example, a wonderful example of our faith and our beliefs and our traditions. And I wish you good health. And again, the show is at your disposal anytime you want it.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you and have a great summer.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
God bless everyone.
Bye-bye. All right, here are the announcements. The bishop is going to go, and I'm going to read some announcements. There's a lot going on, and I want to make sure that we're in tune. Open Studios, they're going to be down at the Eagle Building, which is the old Eaton's paper, the Clock Tower. Artists, they have Friday and Saturdays, what they call open house, every first Friday and Saturday, May through December. And you can just, when you go down there, you'll be astonished. The floor, office, or studio after studio, wonderful artists. All Berkshire people doing wonderful, wonderful things. Nearly 7,000 in seed capital awarded for E for All Showcase and Gala. This is coming up. E for All will continue to support a group of 9 entrepreneurs until March 2024 when their year-long program comes to an end. And the remaining 6,000 in seed capital will be distributed. If you want to find more about E4All, if you're looking and starting your own business, getting into it, you can certainly do it. But call down there. It's 833-336-7255, extension 7049. St. Agnes Catholic School. They're really doing some wonderful things. Our school has had a remarkable year receiving high-ranking accreditation from the NEASC, being voted the best private school in the Berkshires, among other outstanding recognitions. They're another alternative for education, to public education, and you can call out to the principal, 413-684-3143, or you can call St. Agnes Rectory and ask for Father Chris Malatesta. Bascom Lodge, they've got a big situation going there. Open seating, 7 and 9 performances throughout the dining hours. The 2023 Jazz Dinner Series. And I can't think of a better place to have a meal and listen to music than at the top of Mount Greylock on a wonderful summer's night. Coming up on Saturday, July 22nd, 5:30 to 9 p.m., will be the David Grover Scholarship Concert featuring Michael Fabrizio with special guests Puggy Demery and Mike Sacco, including Kathy Jo Grover, and members of the Berkshire Theater Group Youth Chorus. That's Saturday the 22nd, 5:30 to 9. Tickets are on sale at Berkshire Theater Group box office. So, they are limited, and it will be a Balderdash, so there's limited seating. So if you want to support all those kids, and the money will go to send kids to theater camp. So we're 100% behind it here at this show. Bob Heck, this is really good from Bob Heck, WTBR, in two local programs produced on Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7, won Hometown Media Awards in a national contest in this for Alliance for Community Media. One is Backstory, Let's Hear It, produced by Roberta McCulloch Dews, and Berkshire Sports Now, hosted by Robbie Zucker and Sean Cronin. This is a big deal. It's a big deal for them, and it's a big deal for WTBR. Congratulations, everybody, everybody that puts effort into making this station and the TV station the wonderful event that it is. Coming up, yes, it's back. Yes, it is. You betcha. The Polish Picnic at St. Joseph's Church in downtown Pittsfield. Sunday, July 16th, noon to 5 p.m. It's back. We're by COVID. Please, Eddie Foreman Orchestra will be performing for your dancing. Kittyland, the Polish food, kielbasa, kapusta, golubki, pierogi, and American food, hamburgers, hot dogs, and desserts. Beverages, fun. Frozen Polish foods will be available beginning at 9 a.m. It's a wonderful time. It's a community time. It's a family time. It's getting life back to normal. And let me just see. I want to close, before I close the show today, I just want to say this. Martin Olmeyer, this was his saying, and I think we all of us need to become more active in what's right against what's wrong. So first they came for the socialists, and I did not speak out because I was not a socialist. Then they came for the trade unionists, and I did not speak out because I was not a trade union. Then they came for the Jews, and I did not speak out because I was not a Jew. Then they came for me, and there was no one left to speak for me. Let's start standing up for what's right. God bless. Have a great day. And remember, take care of each other, because each other, we have to start taking care of each other. Each other, that's all that we have. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful day, and we'll talk to you soon.